This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. It's 7.05 a.m. on Monday, the 9th of May, the start of yet another work week. As we always do at the top of the morning, let's recap how global markets ended trading last week.
Well, the carnage on Thursday extended to Friday. The Dow was down 0.3%, S&P 500 down 0.6%, and the Nasdaq down 1.4%. Now, over across in Asia, it was also in negative territory, with the exception of Nikkei, which was up 0.7%, Hang Seng down 3.8%, Shanghai Composite down 2.2%, Singapore STI down 1.6%, and FBM KLCI down 1.2%, and actually, year-to-date, now in negative territory.
Oh, we've lost our gains then. Initially, we were in the green, at least yes. Year-to-date, and we've gone into the red now. Well, for some analysis on where markets are heading this week, we speak to Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Canberra. Kingsley, good morning. Thanks, as always, for joining us. The S&P 500 has fallen five straight weeks now. Which sectors would you avoid in this current rout? And amidst this bearish sentiment, are there any U.S. companies that are fair valued now and worth picking up?
Yeah, look, I think the major sectors to avoid is tech right now, or indeed growth names on high multiples. And the market's likely in for a continued tough time, although the aggregate earnings growth, the S&P 500, was not so bad, around 9% year over year. So you might ask, why are we still having these negative weeks? And I think the main reason is because you have rising interest rates that puts pressure on growth stock valuations. But the bigger story, I think, now is really cost pressures which are weighing on profit margins. So when I mentioned that large cap technology has really been taking a bit of a hit, I think the example of Amazon is really a case in point, where, you know, they had improving profit margins not so long ago on the boom in trade with the lockdowns, and they just flipped into the negative there. And that's because these days Amazon's a company that actually has quite a large labor force in their warehouses, and they're getting much higher costs on both wages and also energy. So, you know, they're the things to bear in mind. So the flip side of that is, where would you go? And I think it's anywhere where the companies are benefiting from those higher prices. And that's really energy, materials, and things like the agricultural sector with fertilizer companies and so on. So that's where we're looking. And we like companies, for example, in agricultural chemicals in the U.S., Nutrien, which is a fertilizer company, and, you know, oil refiners like Valero and Marathon are likely to see good dividend growth.
But Kingsley, if we look at markets, it seems like we're really in bear territory. And I think the investors are also anticipating a hard landing for the economy. If that's the case, right, does it make sense to change our asset allocation in the first place and perhaps hold less equities?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And I think the answer, simple answer, is yes. At the margin, let's just do an example. Suppose you were, you know, reducing your exposure to some of those companies that are, so we say, the profitless tech companies. Would it be a great idea to plow that cash straight back into, for example, Apple, which is a real good quality company? At this stage, I don't think so. You're probably better off holding that in cash. And with bonds, you know, we've seen a big sell-off in the U.S. Treasury bonds. They're now yielding over 3%. So you might be getting interested at this point, but I think there might be some further to go. So I think in the near term, you know, it may seem like a chicken decision to hold your money in cash, but it's probably not a bad place to be, because it's not going to go down in this short to medium term of the next 3 months.
Kingsley, building on your point on, you know, aversion towards tech, also there's this huge sell-off for China tech at the moment. So how much will this affect valuations of semicon and electronic companies in Malaysia, given their role in the overall supply chain?
Yeah, well, Malaysia's got such a great presence there. And I do think that there will be some pressure on valuations, just because, you know, we're in that softening part of the semiconductor and electronic equipment cycle. Now, of course, the flip side to that was, you know, we've had this semiconductor shortage that's gone on for some time, and you'd think that would support semiconductors, but we're now flipping into, you know, the consequences of that, which is that automakers are, you know, no longer producing as many cars because they can't get the parts. So I think it will be a soft period, and therefore those valuations will come down some. You know, you saw Apple had decent numbers, but their outlook was a bit murky. So, you know, the market didn't immediately mark the stock up. So Look, structurally, I think the trends for semiconductors, electronic equipment are good, but it may be a 2023 story where you buy them at lower prices, I think.
And if we turn our attention over to Australia, Kingsley, even after the RBA's rate hike, the CEO of National Australia Bank has said that businesses are cashed up and confident. Do you agree with him? Do you think consumer sentiment will still hold up after interest rates move up?
Yeah, well, look, I think that's certainly that's the pertinent question right now. I think that it'll be a mixed market for consumers. And by that, I mean, it really is going to cut along demographic lines as to who has mortgages and who doesn't. And I forget the exact number, but I think it's only about a third of Australians that actually have mortgages. But of course, they have very big mortgages. You know, so that part of the consumer area will probably be belt tightening and, you know, really trying to rationalize their expenditure. And that part will be a bit soft. But, you know, in that NAB statement, they mentioned businesses and they're pretty cashed up and confident. And I think perhaps that it's going to be a bit of a mixed bag, shall we say. Some parts of the consumer area will remain strong, others not. So, like, I think grocery retailing will be good. I think that, you know, computer parts and other things for the home office will probably continue to do well, you know, JB Hi-Fi and so on. And, of course, the energy sector will do well. But other businesses that are more discretionary, maybe not so well.
Kingsley, is when I look at the Australian market and in look at the winners, right, it's really been a lot of the energy names, for example. Is that still the place to hide as opposed to, you know, the banks, for example?
Well, I can best answer that by referring to our own portfolio. Right now, we're actually overweight the banks, financials, and we're also overweight energy. So we have a bet each way. In terms of what happens next, I think once we get through when the banks pay dividends, you'll see some in the market selling those. But I think it's too early to sell energy. I think that with all the disruption caused by, you know, the Russian invasion in Ukraine, you're likely as not yet to see the highest energy prices in this period, because right now they're artificially held down by the release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve around the world, both in the US and elsewhere. But later in the year, they'll probably have to come back and buy, and that's going to push oil prices back up again. So I think energy is still a good bet, and we like financials for the time being.
Do you think Malaysian palm oil is a good bet then? Because what we've seen recently, talking about disruptions, that Indonesia has actually banned palm oil exports. So do you think Malaysian plantation stocks will get a tailwind boost?
We definitely think they ought to. I think perhaps the reason they remain a little bit soft is that global investors, I think, are still relatively unfamiliar with this story because, you know, as Malaysians would well know, you know, it's a little bit like in Australia where, you know, the mining industry has a great period and then it has a soft period and then it comes back again. And, of course, it's the same with agricultural commodities and particularly palm oil, which tends to do well when normal crude oil prices are high, and that's substitution for biodiesel. And then, of course, if cooking oil is in short supply, as we have because sunflower exports from Ukraine have been interrupted, then palm oil will go up. And that's why Indonesia banned exports. So we definitely think it's a good place to look. And, you know, the puzzle then is why haven't they moved more? And I just think it's because of what I said earlier. I don't think global investors know this story very well. And of course, as people in Malaysia would well understand, there's always this question of sustainable palm oil. And I think that a lot of global investors still don't really understand that, you know, there are a lot of sustainable palm industry bodies that are working on cleaning that up. And, you know, obviously a lot of operators are very clearly focused on their ESG scores in that area. So I think eventually the markets will cotton on. They just haven't yet. And for people who know in Malaysia, that's probably a good opportunity. So I think I'd be leaning to buy them.
All right, Kingsley, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the coming days and weeks ahead.
Don't touch tech.
No. Don't touch certain kinds of tech. I think
most big tech.
Don't, like, for example, Amazon, because they've got too many employees. But maybe Apple you want to consider, since their products are still doing extremely well. Last quarter results were stellar, and now they're moving into services. So that's another angle of growth there. So I think you've got to pick your tech companies carefully, those who have pricing power and can still maintain margins. That's the question, right?
Yeah, interesting perspective also on the value chain of tech, where where, you know, we had this earlier conversation of this huge tech sell-off and Chinese tech, right, especially on the e-commerce side. But Malaysia presents an opportunity not only on parts of the value chain with semiconductor, but also palm oil.
That's right. And he did say that he thinks Malaysian palm oil stocks should see a boost. It's just that the rest of the world hasn't cottoned on to our story yet. Something to keep in mind, I suppose.
I have question marks over that. I think a lot to do with ESG concerns, right? Mm. Because the headlines with regards to Malaysian planters haven't been very good. The most recent one, I think, has been in relation to Ferrero Rocher, and I think that's Sime Darby plant. But almost every single plantation company has been hit at one time or another with questions over ESG practices. So I think with a lot of money inflow into ESG funds, investors are just mindful of investing into companies like this.
There seem to be two central issues. The first issue, of course, is this whole allegation of deforestation coming through. Mm. But the more recent one that's come to light is the labour practices adopted. So these are two very distinct ESG-related issues that continue to plague the palm oil industry. Yeah.
Indeed, something we're going to keep an eye on for sure. Let's take a look at some of the headlines very quickly that have caught our eye. We've got one on Toyota here. Toyota plans to invest $620 million to make electric vehicle components in India as the car maker works toward the global goal of carbon neutrality by 2050.
Yeah, so this will be an MOU with Southern Indian state of Karnataka to invest about 41 billion rupees, creating about 2,500 jobs. I think what struck us is not the fact that they're going to do this, but the fact that it's done in India. I remember a long time ago, India was pushing very hard for its made in India, manufactured in India positioning. Whether this is the start of that whole saga again, it's going to be worth watching. Or perhaps it's the issue about being closer to market.
India is a very challenging market. Many Malaysian companies have gone there and failed spectacularly, right? It's very insular looking, very protective of especially of its own local industries. Not many companies have gone there to succeed, but we do see a new wave in that because recently India has come out to say that they're selling some of their key assets, including highways,
exactly,
to foreigners.
Privatizations.
Because, yeah, they need to raise funds. So maybe a new wave of FDI. After all, it's a market of more than a billion people.
All right, stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.